Hey, fellow mathers, do you have limited classroom time? Do you want to make the biggest, best impact on your students that you can? Then you need to start here with the Math is Figureoutable Challenge.
It's 3 1-hour sessions of the quickest and most powerful ways to reach the most students with the most math. We're having special guest Jenna Laib. Mark your calendars for May 15th through 17th at 7 p.m. Central and watch this space to find out when registration opens.
If you can't make those times, you'll want to register anyway so you can get access to the session recordings. And now, on to the episode. Hey, fellow mathematicians! Welcome to the podcast where math is figure-outable. I'm Pam.
And I'm Kim.
And we make the case that mathematizing is not about mimicking steps or rote memorizing facts, but it's about thinking and reasoning, about creating mental relationships. We take the strong stance, y'all, that not only are algorithms not particularly helpful in teaching, but that mimicking algorithms actually keeps students from being the mathematicians they can be. We answer the question, if not algorithms and step-by-step procedures, then what?
So y'all, when we decided to plan episodes,
this is going to be fun.
Yeah, for sure. We were getting to number 73, and I said, Pam, it's 73. It's my favorite number.
And I was like, what?
That's a weird favorite number. But it is. It's my favorite number.
Dun, dun, dun.
And so today we're going to do something a little bit different. We are going to have a numbers episode.
Numbers episode. How fun is that? Yeah. 73. Really? That's your favorite number? Really?
It is. 73. Always has been. No idea why.
Like every time, like it never changes. 73.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Because mine changes a little bit.
It does.
Yeah.
What are your favorite numbers then?
Well, so often if somebody says like choose a favorite number between whatever, often it will be 7, which it took my kids, I don't know, several years to figure that out because I would say to them a lot, hey, who's going to win? Who's going to play? Who's going to cook? Who's going to like whatever to choose? I would say choose a number between 1 and 10 or 0 and 10. And then they would choose a number and whoever was closer won or lost or whatever it was. I swear it took years before one day one of them said, is your number always 7? And I was like, yep. And then from then on, I had to choose different numbers.
Maybe I'll have to borrow your favorite number.
I mean, it's a little funny that mine's 7 and yours is 73.
Yeah.
That is a little funny. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's E. Mm-hmm. So if someone will say, choose a favorite number, I'll choose E.
Okay.
7E. Okay. It almost always has a 7 in it, though. So I think that's funny that yours is 73 and mine's E. Yeah, cool. And then when we realized that we were doing it today.
Yes, today, November 9th, it is my parents' 47th anniversary, also with a 7.
Dun, yeah. Dun. Also with a 7. That's pretty cool. So today, as this podcast is launching, happy anniversary to Kim's parents. We're certainly glad that you had Kim. All right, let's continue on our numbers episode. So some other cool numbers that are out there.
9,500.
9,500. All right. So 9,500. Ready? As of the moment where we're recording this podcast, I've got about 9,500 followers on Twitter.
Yes.
Woo! All right.
Exciting.
Bam. That is very exciting. I will never forget the day when someone said, you really should join Twitter. And I was like, really? Twitter? I don't social media. I just don't even do that. Really? Okay. And I joined Twitter. And then had to figure out Twitter because that's a weird world. And now I've gotten to the point where we have 9,500 followers. So that's pretty cool. It's been fun. And I thoroughly enjoy the interactions I have with other mathy people, which, by the way, everybody can be a mathy person, but other math people on Twitter. I'm thoroughly enjoying Math Strat Chat. If you've never joined us on hashtag Math Strat Chat, we do that every Wednesday night. We also do it on Facebook and Instagram, but we started on Twitter. I think sometimes we get the most action on Twitter, though Facebook's coming. And I tell you, we're getting more and more on Instagram as we go. So Math Strat Chat is fantastic. We also put out some social media stuff on Twitter with after we do Math Strat Chat, then we choose some strategies and let people decide which strategy they like the best from the previous Math Strat Chat. I'm also starting to do strings of problems on Math Strat Chat. So if you pay attention to like 3 weeks in a row on Wednesday nights, the problem that I throw out for the world to dissect and throw in their strategies, then it's actually a string of problems on Twitter. So that's fantastic. I have also thoroughly enjoyed meeting new leaders in math teacher education. So on Twitter. So Twitter's a good world for math education. Yep. Really enjoy that there. All right. I'm going to throw out one.
Okay.
1700. What does that number have to do with things, Kim?
I love this number. I love this number because it's such a great opportunity for us to do for other people. 1700, the number of people who have joined us in our 3 or 5 day challenges that we have hosted. There's so much fun, so much learning happening. The energy is just super high and there's so much to take away. So a couple of times a year, we host challenges.
We call them the You Can Change Math Class Challenge.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And they're totally free.
Yep.
Follow us on social media.
On Twitter.
There you go. Follow us on Twitter. And we'll announce when those challenges are going to come out. And they're, like I said, totally free. And we just teach and do all the math. And it's lots of fun. And 1,700 people have joined us so far.
Yeah. All right.
Lots of fun. All right. Another
next
cool number, Kim.
It's a really important number.
Yeah.
Number 20.
Dun, dun, dun. And that 20 has everything to do with the number of years Kim and I have been working together.
Oh my gosh. Cannot believe it.
Does make me feel a little old. Just a little old. But you're young. That's good. Yeah. And related to that 20 years, for 10 of those years, you were still in the classroom.
Yep.
You were teaching my kids. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And then for the last 10 years, we've been working together as math teacher educators and learning a lot together, fighting every once in a while, but always pleasantly, always pleasantly. Usually that has something to do with Kim going, Pam, I think you're making an assumption. And so I have to go, yeah, actually, you're right. And then we work it out and it's fantastic.
Everyone should have a partner in their education field that they can work as well with, though.
Oh, yeah. This collegiality is amazing.
Yeah.
Really, really appreciate it. And in those 20 years, we talked about the 10 that you were in the classroom and you were my kids' teachers. I'll just tell a quick story that I don't think I've told on the podcast up till now. It's not really mathy, but it's a good one. You had my second son, Matthew, for third grade. He still tells the story about how you are the only teacher who he ever got a demerit from.
Demerit.
He had to sign the book.
Listen, I didn't even know what that meant. It was early days. Like,
I didn't even know what that meant at the time. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And the funny part is he's still really convinced that he shouldn't have had to sign the book.
He probably shouldn't have.
And you're like, whatever. That. You're like,
Nobody should have signed the book. That's the problem. I was early. Forgive me.
I don't know that I've heard your change from signing the book. We can talk about this some other time. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, the story that I want to, that maybe I should have stuck with is, Matthew got strep throat, in December and, you worked with us really well right before Christmas. He got on meds and went back to school and then, or maybe didn't go back to school. And then we had, the winter break, so we had the time off, here in the States. And then he went back to school and not too much longer after he got back to school, he said, I don't feel well again. And I said, whatever. We checked him out. Sure enough, he had strep again. I was like, whoa, that's quick right in a row. We got him back on meds. He went back to school. So now he's missed some school right before break and after break. He went back to school and he came home not very much longer. And he said, Mom, I feel like I have it again. I said, sweetheart, you're on medicine. You can't have it again. Go back to school. And it was kind of poor kid. I should have believed him. I sent him back to school and you're like, he really doesn't look good. And I was like, okay, but he's on medicine. Took him back to the doctor. The kid tested positive for strep on antibiotics.
Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. Anyway, I'm making the story too long, but over time, he missed, 2.5 months of school third grade. It was tough, rough going back to school. He was a little anxious to go back to school. He hadn't been, it felt like he didn't even know the kids anymore. You were so brilliant through it all.
Thank you.
Really appreciated the way that you treated him like a human. You know, it was far more about him and his comfort and being able to get back into school and far less about grades and just all the dumb things that didn't really matter. And anyway, I really appreciated that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. And during that year, I got to do some really cool problem strings in the class with my own kid. And I'll never forget the first difference versus removal problem thing I ever did. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And it was two whole kids that had a clue what I was doing. In that problem string. And we talked about it afterwards and you said something like, I mean, you started a little high and I was like, okay, all right, good to know. And it was fabulous. That was a moment when I knew we were going to work well together because unlike most of the teachers I worked with, you pushed back. Like you were like, I think, have you ever thought about, would you consider? And I was like, okay, little uppity third grade teacher and my stuff. So it was fabulous because we started a really good working relationship and really respected the feedback that you gave me. All right, let's give another favorite number.
Okay. All right.
How about 100,000?
I mean, it is insane. Over 100,000.
Over 100,000.
Podcast downloads.
Y'all,
thanks for listening. Yes.
Like, we really appreciate it. Yeah. Amazing. On our podcast host site, we're now in the top 5% of podcasts. So it's pretty cool that we've got 100,000 downloads for our podcast. And we're on episode 73 and we're going to keep going. This has been fantastic. Just briefly, every once in a while, someone will say, what took you so long? And I'm like, come on, we're doing a podcast. Don't knock it. I'll tell you, Kim and I talked for a while about doing a podcast. The whole team, everybody that knew me, was bugging me to do a podcast for a while. And I just couldn't wrap my head around what it would mean. And then right before the pandemic and as the pandemic hit, some of you know, my son Craig worked for us that summer. He was kind of an intern, worked for us, did a lot of really good things.
Amazing.
And he was in our face. He was like, you should do a podcast. I'm not actually sure whose idea it was for you to be the co-host. Do you remember, Kim?
Oh, I have no idea. But
yeah, I don't know.
I guess I should maybe thank them.
We probably should thank whoever that was that forced that idea. Because then I was like, Kim, if you were the co-host, I would actually do it. Like, if you were the co-host, it would actually happen. One of my biggest concerns really was that I was so busy that I just knew things would get in the way and then it wouldn't get done.
Yeah.
And I knew to do a podcast and make it successful, it needed to be consistent. We needed to have podcasts happen. Well, as soon as somebody said, hey, Kim should be the co-host, then I was all over it. I was like, oh, that Kim would make it happen. Kim is a bit, what's a good word for this? Organized?
That's a good word.
What did you say?
I said, yes, organized is fine.
I didn't even hear what you said. Kim is really organized and she will make things happen. She's a little militant. Can I use the word militant?
Oh, yeah. You can.
Okay. Yeah. So I knew that if I had Kim involved, then it would actually happen. And so I owe a big debt of gratitude to Kim being willing to be the co-host. And so we could actually make it happen. And y'all, thank you so much for listening and making this podcast go. We really appreciate it. That's awesome. Very cool.
Okay. Another thing to be really proud of, Pam, is the number 5.
Yeah, we have worked hard for this 5.
Yeah.
5 stands for the number of online workshops that we currently have out. And y'all, we have planned more. We're working on a 6th right now. We have planned to do more than that. We really want to have an offering K-12 so that every teacher, kindergarten through 12th grade, has at least 2 or 3 workshops that are applicable for that teacher. Deep dive content workshops that are applicable for that teacher. We don't have it yet, but we do right now have a workshop for teachers K-8 that are applicable for your content that you can do deep dive into content. So for example, one of them that we have out right now is Building Addition for Young Learners. That is for pre-K through 2 teachers, pre-K through 2nd grade teachers, where we really dive deep into developing counting and counting strategies and additive reasoning and what it looks like in pre-K, kindergarten, 1st grade, and 2nd grade to make that happen. We also have Building Powerful Multiplication, deep dive workshop where teachers can really learn all about building multiplication and building from additive reasoning to multiplicative reasoning, the top 5 strategies to solve any problem that's reasonable to solve at a calculator without using an algorithm so that students are really thinking and reasoning multiplicatively. We also have Building Powerful Division, where we outline the 4 top division strategies that students need to know so they can solve any problem that's reasonable to solve without a calculator or without the long division algorithm. And what does it mean to really reason partitively and quotatively about division, deep dive into division, thinking about division multiplicatively. Also, we have Building Powerful Proportional Reasoning for you middle grades teachers, where we really dive deep into what does it mean to reason proportionally and how can you help develop that reasoning multiplicatively and proportionally, because we know that students need to be able to reason multiplicatively in order to reason proportionally. So middle grades, grade 6, 7, 8, you'll really enjoy the building powerful proportional reasoning. Now that's 4 I just mentioned, but we said the number 5, right? Mm-hmm. 5. Mm-hmm. So that 5th workshop is free, y'all. And it is called Developing Mathematical Reasoning. And it is all about the underpinnings of everything we do. How do we want to develop mathematical reasoning, not just get answers to questions, but we really want students to develop as mathematicians. That is free. You can register for that and take it anytime. We've now made it evergreen. It's so exciting that it's evergreen. Anybody can take it. You just register for it. You have 6 weeks access to take it. Y'all, here's a little known secret we don't really advertise. If you take it and don't finish it, you just register again. That's no problem. Yeah. Just take it again. You can have pretty much access to it anytime. In fact, if I can just mention, if you're a leader and you would like to have teachers be able to have access to it, but you want to not have to re-register every 6 weeks, just give me a holler at Pam at mathisforgabble.com. Leaders, we always can make a deal and make things work easier for you as leaders so that you can support the teachers that you lead. We can absolutely make that work. So check out those 5 workshops, Developing Mathematical Reasoning, Developing Addition for Young Learners, Developing Powerful Multiplication, Developing Powerful Division. And the last one, Developing Proportional Reasoning. I wasn't even counting. Developing Powerful Proportional Reasoning. Hey, if you're interested to know what's coming out next, I'll let you know we're working right now on building powerful linear functions. Mm-hmm. That is in the works. But soon after that, we'll want to come out with some fraction work. We want to do developing subtraction for young learners.
Yes.
So lots of things on the horizon. Did I mention fractions? I don't remember.
Yes.
Definitely mm-hmm. fractions are coming. So just know that that is all happening and we're very excited. To keep the numbers growing. So right. Y'all, some right. favorite numbers. What's your favorite number? Maybe you can share with us your favorite number and why you like that favorite number. What that number means to you, especially if it has something to do with the Math is Forgettable movement, Math is Forgettable podcast. Like share those favorite numbers with us. And the next time we do a favorite number episode, maybe we'll share your favorite number and why it's your favorite number, what it means to you and math being figure outable. Because if you want to learn more mathematics and refine your math teaching that you and your students are mathematizing more and more, then join the Math is Figureoutable movement and help us spread the word that math is figureoutable. Thank you for listening and making math more figureoutable.
Remember, we're going to be opening registration for the Math is Figureoutable Challenge soon. Mark your calendar from May 15th through 17th. You are not going to want to miss these free PD evenings where you'll learn 4 routines you need in your classroom that are naturally engaging and encourage students to think mathematically.
And remember, if you can't make those times, registering gets you access to the recordings. Keep making math figure outable.